It's quite extraordinary, isn't it? Now maybe you'll understand why we give that the 42 minutes of radio that it undoubtedly merits. And by the way, if you were wondering about his reference to a politician within that interview, I did try to quiz him on which English politician he was talking about, but he wouldn't elaborate. An extraordinary interview, harrowing account of life in Kinkora from Richard Kerr. It also delved, didn't it, into the murky world of abuse of power and allegations of paedophile rings involving very high-profile public figures. If you want to pick up the phone this morning, 08459 555 678, just for your gut reaction to what you've just heard. Richard says his abuse took place in England as well as Belfast, arguing that it adds considerable weight to the case for Kinkora to be brought into the Westminster inquiry into child sex abuse. Let's discuss this with the journalist Liam Clark, who's been reporting on the Kinkora scandal for many years and who has interviewed Richard himself for the Belfast Telegraph. Good morning to you, Liam.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And Patrick Corrigan from Amnesty International with us too. Good morning to you, Patrick.
Good morning, Stephen.
Well, I'm just looking at my Twitter feed here, Liam, and there are some people saying they're absolutely speechless with what they've just heard.
Well, I think it is. I mean, you hear people referring to child abuse and you know, it's just a word, but when you hear the reality of a frightened child, I mean, I remember listening to Richard describing it to you, speaking to myself. I mean, he was removed from his home. His mother was taken away under restraint at the age of five. He was taken into the care system, and this is what happened to him from a fairly early age and consistently. And it was reported, and nothing happened.
Your initial reaction, Patrick?
Well, I suppose I have heard these stories, traumatic stories from Richard and from others before. So I suppose for me, they no longer have the shock value, apart from the fact that one is shocked rigid that not only was this allowed to happen in a supposed care home, but further, if one believes the allegations about security force or security services involvement, is that actually the people charged with defending national security and defending with the people of this country allegedly allowed this abuse to continue unchecked for many years when it could have been stopped, and further allegedly actually were using this paedophile ring for their own intelligence gathering purposes. And I think that is what sets it apart, the abuse at Kinkora Boys Home, as opposed to the child abuse that we know took place in many other children's homes as well in Northern Ireland, as well as elsewhere. It's those set of allegations about security services involvement that set this apart.
What does the government need to do now, Liam?
Well, I mean, we need a full inquiry, and I'd associate myself with Paddy's comments there. I mean, it is it's fairly clear that people raised the alarm within the intelligence services, said, look, this man McGrath isn't, at the very least said, this man McGrath isn't Kinkora. He's a taste for young boys. This can't go on. And they were warned off. They were warned off by a Pacific officer in MI5. So that's a very serious matter. The government needs to come clean on this. There's no point in ducking and diving and trying to lose things between two inquiries. The people involved in Kinkora, still some of them young enough to come forward in the future. But we should remember that this was a sickness of the whole society. Now, I agree the government is a specific duty, but we look at this as the care system was weak. The Catholic Church ran homes and there were allegations of abuse in them. The IRA got allegations of abuse and moved the abusers about. There's allegations of the same thing happening among loyalists. This was a deep sickness. People covered up for this. These little cliques developed and protected themselves.
Do you believe, Liam, the state would have covered, protected the likes of McGrath and Mains in return for information?
Well, like Patrick Corrigan, I suppose I'm familiar with the allegation now. I first started hearing it in the 80s, and I became aware at that stage that a number of people who had unorthodox sexual tastes were security force agents, and I presume they could have been busted for this. And then you speak to people like Colin Wallace; he was raising it, and you find that these stories converge. However, we need an inquiry to get to the back of it. We need a body that's competent to look at all the documents, to investigate all the witnesses, and to compel people to attend.
It's quite astonishing, Patrick, isn't it, when you listen to that today, that people still to this day, like Richard, have not got justice, haven't got the truth.
No, and I suppose the rumours around Kinkora and the involvement of security forces or involvement of establishment figures in carrying out the abuse, they have been common currency in Northern Ireland for decades. So I think people here are fairly familiar with the basics of this story. And I suppose at this stage, almost are beyond disillusionment with the justice system and that the government has failed to ever get to the bottom of it. And that the only three people ever convicted for the abuse at Kinkora were the three men who worked at the home that you talked about with Richard. But as he has said, and as I think is widely believed, this paedophile abuse ring went much wider in terms of the numbers of people involved in carrying out the abuse and the numbers of children who were abused. And I think the interesting dimension, particularly to Richard's story, is that he was one of the boys who was abused not just in the home, but was effectively trafficked around various locations in Northern Ireland and then across the water to England, where further abuse was carried out. And the identification potentially of Elm Guest House in London, where Richard believes he was also abused, that was the centre of what is now believed to have been a Westminster-based paedophile ring. And there are allegations of senior British politicians being involved in that abuse ring. And those allegations go all the way up to cabinet level. And I think it was only last year that Norman Tebbit, former Conservative cabinet minister during the 80s, says that he believes there may well have been a government cover-up of child abuse during that era. So I think that there is now a compelling, unanswerable case for this Vulcan Corps investigation to be brought within the remit of the Westminster inquiry that has the powers to compel files out of Whitehall filing cabinets and out of the security services.
Well,
and indeed, that would give confidence to the likes of former military intelligence.
You're expecting an announcement, Patrick, today from Theresa May, aren't you?
There is. Just as your programme ends at 10:30, the Home Secretary is due to make a written statement to the Commons around the child abuse inquiry. We hope that that will bring Kinkora inside the remit of that inquiry, but she may decline to do so yet again. Instead, it may simply be an announcement about the names of new panel members for that inquiry panel. And I think if that is the case, if she does decline to respond to the Home Affairs Committee, to Amnesty, to the Northern Ireland Assembly, to bring Kinkora into the inquiry, it will be another massive missed opportunity for justice.
The police have given us a statement, the PSNI. They have said that there's currently a public inquiry ongoing in relation to historical institutional abuse. They say they're determined to cooperate fully with that inquiry. Any allegation, they say, that officers, they basically say if you have any allegation about officers committing any wrongdoing, acting inappropriately, go to the police ombudsman, is what they say.